The sermon today is here. It's called Bearing Each Other in Love. It's about living a life worthy of our calling. Bearing each other in love. And we're going to start with Ephesians. Ephesians is a great epistle that's about bringing us together. So the main idea today is about how much we are loved by Christ and how much we are urged then to bear with one another in Christ's love by being completely humble, by being completely gentle and completely patient, right? So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and I'm just going to read 6 verses to you. It says this, so this is from Paul. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. When Paul wrote Ephesians, he was encouraging unity and maturity amongst believers. Ephesians was a letter to believers, people of faith, not just in any God out there, but in Jesus' God, Jesus' Father, believers in Christ Jesus himself. People who realized that Jesus was the true Son of God and Savior Israel had always looked for. They were people who he spent 3 years living with, discipling and teaching to believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul couldn't be with the Ephesians anymore, but he wanted them to mature, to keep growing. And as they grow, to remain united. So he urges them to live a life worthy of their calling, urging them to bear with one another in love. To catch this message today, it's important that we catch on to what this calling is that he talks about, this calling. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So what is our calling? So a quick detour. It's tied to our eternal salvation and union with Christ. Big words, right? We are saved in Christ and we're going with him into eternity. And we're also united to him all the way into eternity. So he says in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. The riches of his glorious inheritance is this eternal salvation that we have and can only have in Christ. His holy people is you and me. We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are his people, set apart from the world. We're different. We're his now, not anyone else's. So now that we are saved in Christ, we're united to him forever. And our calling is now to live that life out. Not just to live any life out, but to live a life that's worthy to how he loved us first. So it's not that we are in debt to him. We're not living because he did something for us and now we want to repay him. He's not like that. He's not a loan shark. He doesn't charge us. No management fees. But we're his forever. We are his forever. When you have someone have you forever, someone who loves you like that forever, that it will never break that covenant with you, he will never forsake you. When you have someone like that, it evokes us, it provokes us to then live a life that somehow honors him. That's what Paul is urging his people to do, to live a life that somehow honors what Christ has done for you. Christ has done so much for us. Christ has given up his whole life for us. And Paul is saying, once you realize what he's done for you, you can't help but want to live a life in that light. So what has he done? What has he done? He's given up a lot. He's given up his whole life for our sake. He's given up his whole life for our eternity. He's given up his whole life for our eternal forgiveness. He removed your guilt, my guilt, your shame, my shame. He's removed all of that into eternity. He gave up his whole life for our eternal freedom. He broke chains. You know, as we journey together, we hear of testimonies about how we used to live and how we don't have to live that way, how he's broken those bondages that we are bound to without him. We testify of how he breaks us out of those chains and he unleashes us into this freedom and that blessing to live without that sin in our life anymore. Church, we have that freedom in him to be broken away from all of that sin. Jesus gave up his life for our eternal joy, a joy that's with us despite any circumstances, despite all circumstances. How many of us have ever experienced that times where we are very low, those times where we are feeling like we're forsaken, those times that we feel like we've got nothing else, yet when we remember Christ, there is a joy that makes us smile. There is a joy that we can be cheerful about. That joy comes from him. It's not coming from you. It's coming from him. To be able to have joy in the lowest of times, that comes from him. He's given up his life for our eternal purpose. Oh, in TBC, for the last 3 months, we've been drilling into them that they have a purpose. They are discovering what that purpose is, okay? And as adults, we've been encouraging them that it is okay if they haven't discovered what their purpose is. Because hands up who's in here who is yet to discover their purpose. Oh, it's just me. All right, it is just me. But without Christ, we will go wandering. Without Christ, we will just wander like a lost citizen, like a lost sheep out there with no direction. But he somehow gives us that direction and he's bringing that into eternity with us. He has given up his life to make eternal room in the Father's house for you. John 14, verse 2, he's preparing a place for you. Church, if you are ever in a position where you feel like you don't belong in his house, when you feel like you may not be seen, when you feel like you're not wanted anymore, let the Spirit remind you and convict you, and let others around you remind you and convict you that you have a place in the Father's house, that there is room here for you. He's prepared that place, that room for you. Don't ever let anyone or anything in your head say that you don't belong in his house, because you do. It's a lie. It's a lie. And as brothers and sisters, as believers who journey together, call that out. Call that out in one another. We need that. He's given up his life for your eternal acceptance. You are fully embraced. You are a child of God. He's given up his life for your eternal courage. every day He is giving you something to face that challenge ahead of you. He's given up His life for your eternal victory. Sin and death is not going to be the end of you. I said to my young Jonah as we entered the church today, he asked me, why is this song saying that we're standing on the grave of my old self? There's this song that I've been singing lately, and it says, why is it saying I'm stamping on the grave of my old self? And I said, well, before Christ, you die and you stay there. But in Christ, you're stamping on top of it, right? Because you'll be raised to life again. We have that. And He's given up His life for eternal companionship. He will never, ever leave you. He will never forsake you, despite what you've done and what you haven't done. So again, the lie in the heads that are saying that you don't belong, the lies in the head that says you're not worthy, the lies in the head that says that He can't be with you. Let's call that out and say, no, He is forevermore with us. He is our great companion. And He gives us a great hope beyond whatever pain we're going through, whatever suffering people are going through. He is more than that. He gives us something to hope for that is beyond whatever pain and suffering that we're going through. So first and foremost, church, you were saved. You were saved in love. Your calling is living a life that honors Christ's saving love. I'm going to say that again. Your calling is living a life that honors Christ's saving love. It's a life that reflects this love and this calling. A life of love that reflects this calling. It reminds me of John's gospel when Jesus says this, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So once we know that we are loved by Christ and how deep that love is, when it comes to living a life, you are living out that calling that Paul's urging us to. But not only that, this is how the world will know us. This is how the world will know that we are His, right? It gets noticed. So your week, your daily, what happens from Monday to Saturday, it gets noticed by the world. And Jesus loves that. Jesus loves it when we are living a life that's honoring to Him. So going back to this passage of from Ephesians, be completely humble. Be completely humble. Now that you know that this calling is grounded in love, now He's telling us how that looks like, what that looks like, the way that we honor Him. To be completely humble is that God's strength is working in us. He helps us because we are weak. But it's not our strength that He's after. It's more that He wants to show you His strength in you. Does that make sense? So God doesn't want your strength. He doesn't want your strength. Because, and I say this because He knows that we want to be strong. We would rather be strong than weak, right? We'd rather be strong than weak. He doesn't want the strength from us. He wants to give you His strength. And that takes humility. That takes humility to say, all right, God, I'm going to step back. It's not my strength. But it's yours. It's yours that's going to come out of me. It's yours that's going to stir up in me. I will step out of this house today. I will face today's challenges because of you and not because of me. And one of the greatest blessings that we can have is journeying with people who don't see themselves as strong, who are actually weak and suffering and going through pain. It's one of the greatest blessings because what we find is that those believers have no choice but to really hang on to God. They don't have luxuries that you or me might have. They have less. And so really it draws them closer and closer to God. When you journey with people who are weak, when you journey with people who are suffering, you see God in a way that you've never seen before. Because we see God as we've experienced it, but we start seeing their faith, we see their trust, we see how much they're relying on His love in order to face the day's challenges. I think that's why Paul is saying, be humble, be completely humble. He's also saying, be completely gentle. Be completely gentle. We convey this image of Christ when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I once worked with a colleague, and he was a good colleague, and we both shared a manager. So this is a story about one manager and two colleagues. And with this manager, my colleague would do some work and he would get reviewed by her. But the way that this manager treated him and the way that he experienced her was really terrible. All right, she's the kind of person who will tell him everything he's done wrong and question all the reasons of why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? What made you think this? What made you think that? She would interrogate his motivation for doing work, and she would go beyond just giving feedback of things that need to be corrected. And I felt for this guy. I felt for him because every time he went into the manager's office, I knew that he was just going to get completely drilled and completely smashed. Yet, my experience of this manager was completely different. What I experienced from her was appreciation. I experienced from her encouragement. She corrected me when things were wrong. She just told me, yeah, but you know, you did this wrong, and we'll just fix that up quite easily. So I had a pretty good ride with this manager. In the world, you can have one manager and you can have two people and they can be treated completely different. I never wanted to be treated like the other co-worker was treated. In Christ, we have the same gentle shepherd. And it doesn't matter who we are, how bad our performances are, how badly we've done a job, how little we did, the things that we didn't know, He's not going to treat us like a manager would. He's not going to tell us off like a manager would. He's not going to let out His frustrations onto us. What He is going to do is He's going to gently restore you. He's going to listen to you. He's going to see you. He's going to make sure that you know that you are still loved. That is who we are honoring. I know for my friend, he found it hard. My colleague found it hard to actually honor that manager. He did a pretty good job, I must say. But how much more would we do for Christ? Because has He not already done so much for us? Is it not worth living for to go to Him, to be completely gentle? So, I say this to you guys because That is the gentle shepherd we have. That is the gentle Lord that we have. That is the gentle, loving God that we have. And so when we see each other, we're reflecting that onto each other. So be completely humble, be completely gentle. And now, the next one, be completely patient. The idea of patience is literally to be long-tempered. How often do we get stressed by our challenges? How often do we get messed up by our own selves that we become short-tempered? I can think of any relationship where being humans, it might start off really well. We might pour out lots of love onto each other and be super encouraging with and kind with our words. But as we journey with each other, does it get easier or harder to love one another? Yeah, that's right. No one wants to say. But the truth is, I'm going to say it. It gets harder to love someone, right? When the more and more that we journey with them, it gets harder and harder. Because maybe we come to the end of ourselves as that journey goes, and it's hard for us to let go of ourselves. Journeying with each other, being around people. It's all right, Pastor Rena. You're okay. Journeying with each other requires a lot of patience, right? Be completely humble. Be completely gentle, my dear pastor.
Yes, with my mother.
Yep. And be completely patient. Maybe that's the message that she needs to hear right now. So even if our pathway looks long, even if the journey looks long, even if the process feels slow, even if you feel like you're not moving as fast as others, we hold on to the belief that God sees our pace, that God is with us in our movement. A wise man once said to me, "Don't worry about your feelings. They'll eventually catch up to what you know." Don't worry about your feelings. They'll eventually catch up to what you know. Patience. We know that all good things work together for those who love God, right? So we hope in Christ, and we are able now to encourage others in hope. Which brings us to our last bit. Be completely humble. Be completely gentle. Be completely patient. But there's more. Be completely bearing with one another in love. We're urged to bear one another in Christ's love. This is the main message for today. I wanted to talk about how, you know how First Light is going through a bit of transition at the moment. We've had a lot of things happen. We've had a change of a pastor. We've just said goodbye and celebrated the end of term for our previous pastor, Pastor Richard. And we've embraced our new pastor, Pastor Rena. There is a period of transition that First Light's going through. It's not just here. On the worship stage, from the pulpit, but it's throughout the church. We've seen changes. We've seen Seek split up and go from three classes to four classes. We've seen TBC start up a full-on Friday night service that we're doing every week. What other changes have we seen? We've seen leadership come together. We've seen leadership come together and reflect on what has been and where we're going as well. We've seen, I don't know if you remember, but the room got arranged at one point in time. Yeah, the room got arranged at one point in time. And I know that that would have been quite jarring and quite disruptive, but it wasn't because of anything that we wanted to do, but it was because LGCC wanted to have a month of prayer and wanted to disrupt the room for a season as well, right? So there's been changes happening to First Light. And the picture that God is giving me today is on the next slide. It's this picture of his people walking through the Red Sea. At the beginning of the year, the leaders had this guest speaker called Jeff Hall come in. And he was a great man. He went and talked us through how transition happens and how transition is simply going from one place to another place, but it's the bit in between. And I feel like that's where First Light is going through, and I know that you would feel that as well. But the picture that he gave us was this picture of God's people going through the Red Sea. And I want you guys to imagine what that would have been like back in the day. This is God's people being redeemed out of slavery from the Egyptians and being rescued through Moses, leading the way, and God parting the Red Sea and his people walking through it. Now, I always used to just imagine people were just walking through the Red Sea, a pathway. But the more I grow up and live and experience, the more I hear the stories that I hear from our congregation, I begin to say, to think and picture that the people that were journeying through this Red Sea weren't just walking ahead. I begin to realize that the people journeying through the Red Sea weren't just people like me. I begin thinking that actually the people who were going through this Red Sea were people who were weak and people who were strong. There were people who needed help, and there were perhaps people who didn't get help as well. There were families in there. There were people who didn't have their families because they were slaves. They were people who were going through this Red Sea not knowing whether they're actually going to make it. Because when they look to the left, when they look to the right, they see this big ocean that can fall on them at any point in time. And they're walking through this Red Sea. But I think back then, it's not just every man for themselves. It's not just let's go. I see it as they would have actually come around each other, bearing with one another in love. Can you see this picture? This picture of I see a woman, I see their child, I don't know where the father is, maybe he didn't make it, but I'm going to go back and actually help them up and walk with them so that they get through this Red Sea, right? There might be other people who were injured along the way. Maybe they got attacked. Maybe they broke something. I mean, I would have pulled my back muscle 1,000 times just to get to the Red Sea. I would have needed someone to come and pick me up and let me put my arm around them so that I don't get left behind. As I'm approaching 40 years old this year, everything's sort of getting more painful. So you might hear this more in my sermons, more illustrations about things just becoming more and more painful and how unfit I am. And then more stories about people asking me to go to the gym more often and join them. Right, Crystal? Yeah. So imagine walking through the Red Sea and imagine seeing your own community. People you're not related to, people you might not even know the names of, people of the same community, but bearing one another in love, going with them, holding their hand to walk through the Red Sea. There might have been people who were really terrified. Would they have just been abandoned? Or did someone come along to just reassure them that they're going to make it, right? As First Light goes through its own transition, We're called to bear one another in love. We're all going to go through transition differently. We're all going to experience transition differently. But I think God's calling us not just to worry about ourselves, but to see each other in that. Why? It's because we're all on the same journey. We're all discerning the pathway forward. We're all discerning how to honor that life in Christ. We're on the same journey. He's the one who's going to help us to see the ones who are terrified. He's the one who's going to see the ones who are struggling with transition. And he's also the one who's going to help us to be there for those people. Guys, God doesn't want anyone to be left behind when he's saving them. He's going to finish his good work. So I believe that as we learn how to bear with one another in love, A, you yourself, you are going to see a change in yourself. Why? Because it comes back to that first idea from Paul. It's grounded in the love that you have from God in the first place. So how much does God love you? How much does God love you? How much does God love you? When that clicks in place, you have so much capacity. You have so much capacity. You have so much capacity. God's then going to move us from that place of a full love, a full tank of love that you have from him. All right? It's his love. He's going to move us to a place where it's just overflowing. It's just overflowing. It's just overflowing. And what overflowing looks like is, it looks humble, it looks gentle, and it looks patient. Right? So remember in this time of transition how much God loves you. Everything is pointing you towards that love. Yeah? It's pointing all of us to that love. And wait to see it overflow, right? Church, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Because I believe this is a word for our season. To see what it's like, to experience what it's like, to live out what it's like. To bear with one another in love. It is so much different to what you thought it was before. You are different people now. You have grown. You are maturing. And he sees that. You have to know that he sees that. And where we're going is a life to see what it's like of how to be humble again. Hardened hearts, be soft again. Arrogant minds, be cushioned and humbled. Become learners again. The spirit of a learner. The gentleness of our loving Father will be shown to each other through our words, through our actions in tangible ways. This is what's coming, church. This is what's coming. With our cups full, our tanks full, full of his love, that gentleness will just come out. And that gentleness will be noticed. That gentleness will be noticed by people. They will know that they are loved by Him. They will know that you love them. And patience, and patience. For those of us who think like they've been patient long enough, your cup needs to be overflowing again. Yeah? Your cup needs to be overflowing again. Patience is hard to have when we've got hardened hearts. Yeah? We're short-tempered. But God has been waiting for a lifetime for us. God has been waiting for very long for everything. He is so patient. Tap into that. See how patient He is with you. See how patient He is with you. And next time you need to be patient with someone else, wow, you will wait. You will withhold your frustration. You will withhold things that aren't good for another person. You will withhold those things that aren't loving towards another person. This is what's coming for First Light. This is what He